Good morning, New City. It's so good to see you and to be with you this morning. Friends, as this season extends longer and longer, and as the uncertainties continue, a lot of thoughts and feelings may be stirring inside you, both positive and negative, hopeful and sometimes doom, all mixed up. And perhaps all those different thoughts and feelings are stirring in you as you're trying to sleep or to work. And they're mixed with news and information as you look for some kind of end to all of this. And still, we continue to wait and to wait and to wait. And the longer we wait, questions may arise in your soul, like, where is God? What is God doing in all of this? Why isn't God intervening? Does God even care? In our time together, I want to invite you into the questions that you carry, to sit with your doubts and to let those doubts be your prayer for today. So take a moment to think silently. What questions do you carry in this time? I encourage you to write them down if you can. What questions do you have for God? Friends, we come from a tradition of questioning God. When we ask our questions, we actually join a long line of the faithful that have gone before us, who have likely asked the very same questions. Because illness and plagues and pandemics, they aren't new. And we continue the questioning that the prophets demanded, that David wrote in songs, the questions that the Israelites wondered out loud. I think God actually appreciates our childlike selves that isn't afraid to ask questions. Think about how old you were when you were most curious, when you wanted to know how things worked and you constantly asked, why? How old were you when you didn't care if others might think your questions silly or foolish? I still remember some of the questions I asked as a child. Like, who poured all that salt into the ocean? Or how do all those little people fit inside the TV? And when I was scared, I asked, why did God create thunder and lightning? Why does God send tornadoes and earthquakes? And those questions I asked in fear are not much different from the questions I asked as an adult. Why is there suffering and evil in this world? Why are people filled with so much hate and prejudice? Why doesn't God do something about it? So in this season of so much uncertainty, I ask that as a community, you join me in questioning God. Our guiding passage for today comes from Psalm chapter 13. And we're going to use this psalm as our prayer. And I ask that as you listen, you also pray these questions written by David. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This short prayer begins with four how long questions. How long, Lord? How long? How long? How long? We can sense through these questions that the psalmist feels God's absence. God has abandoned. Maybe God has forgotten. But what we also learn from this psalm and so many other psalms is that God is not afraid of our questions. God can take it. But often we are afraid of questions. Because we're afraid of the uncertainty when we speak our questions out loud. Because that space of questioning can be uncomfortable. So even if we do have those questions, we can be too quick to fill in the answer. Because we're so afraid of the silence, if God doesn't answer. And especially if the waiting is long, it's uncomfortable to sit with those doubts. But if we avoid questioning God because we think it's somehow not good or it's not trusting, then in times of crisis, we will end up avoiding God altogether. This psalm encourages us. It's okay. Ask your questions. When we ask our questions, it is a prayer. To ask God is to pray. Prayers of questions are prayers of courage because we speak directly to God. And God asks questions of us too. Starting in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve hid in shame, God came and asked, "Where are you?" In Genesis 16, when Hagar was running away in fear, God showed up and asked, "Where are you going?" Through Jeremiah's prophecies, God asked, "Where are the gods you made for yourselves now? And how long will you wander?" Jesus, in the Gospels, also asked us questions. Why do you worry? And why are you so afraid? It isn't as if God didn't know the answer. But questions are actually part of the God-human relationship. It is part of what brings us closer to God. God asks questions of us, and we ask questions of God. Think about how remarkable that really is, that we can ask God questions. Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor and writer, he said this in an interview when asked about his belief in God even after surviving the Holocaust. He said this, "What I try to do is speak to God. Even when I speak against God, I speak to God. And even if I am angry at God, I try to show God my anger. But even that is a profession, not a denial of God. I have never abandoned God. I had tremendous problems with God and still do. Therefore, I protest against God. Sometimes I bring God before the bench. Nevertheless, everything I do is done from within faith and not from outside. If one believes in God, one can say anything to God. One can be angry at God. One can praise God. One can demand things of God. Above all, one can demand justice of God. Even in the uncomfortable space of questions, here's another reality that I've experienced. The seasons when I doubted God the most, when I felt most overwhelmed by my questions, those were also the seasons when God felt most near. Yes, God was painfully silent. Yes, I doubted God's very existence. But that was when God felt most near, because that was also when I was brave enough to draw nearest to God, even if it was to confront God. It's said that St. Francis of Assisi would pray, "Who are you, God? And who am I?" And those two questions would be his prayer throughout the night. Who are you, God? And who am I? So what questions are you praying in this season? Let us return once again to Psalm 13. We are using this psalm as our prayer. So as I read it a second time, hear this as our prayer. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. As David prayed his questions, we also see a movement in this prayer. It's a movement through his questions, and then he goes a bit deeper into his fears. David recognizes through his prayer that he cannot save himself. God needs to answer. God needs to act. Some commentators say that it's possible what David is dealing with here is an illness, and that the enemy he refers to may even be death itself. But if you pay attention to verse 3, David appeals to my God. In declaring my God, David is trusting even in the questioning. Questioning is trust, because you are trusting that God hears your prayer. Because you trust that God can respond. If we are afraid to voice our questions and fears, it is actually a denial of what God can do and who God is. Do you not believe that God can answer? Do you not believe that God can speak? If you do believe, then ask your questions. When we ask our questions, it is actually saying a yes to life, because it means we haven't given up yet. Walter Brueggemann wrote, that it is often the poor and vulnerable who keep on questioning God because they have not given up on God. It is actually often the intellectual and the privileged that have stopped asking questions of God because they can rely on themselves, or they think they can. But praying to God is an equalizer. When we pray, we all admit that we can't save ourselves, rich or poor. Brueggemann also wrote that unanswered prayer is not an intellectual problem. Unanswered prayers are deeply embedded in social, economic, and political realities. And so prayer is deep trust, refusing to accept the way things are, and that even if we pray for something that seems unreasonable or impossible, when we pray, it is a desperate declaration that we will not be silent. We will not give up, so we demand God to save us. In and through our prayers, we declare who God is and who God is not. Sometimes we draw nearer to God through affirmations of who God is, through learning about God and growing. It is a path of light. But other times we are taken through a different path towards God, a path of letting go, of silence, of emptying, of weakness, of darkness, of questions. And perhaps all of us in this season are on this second path towards God together. We need to weed through who God is not through our questions in order to discover who God is. And in the last two verses of this prayer, we see a sudden shift. David says, But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. When I first read this passage, I had to go back to see if I missed something. What happened here? How did David change so quickly from that doubt and questioning to praising? There must be something missing between verse 4 and 5. I want to know what happened so that I can learn how to trust and praise. And we see this often in the Psalms. This back and forth movement between lament and praise, between complaints against God to gratitude towards God, and then we go back again to complaints against God. These psalms reflect the human heart. This is what our prayers actually sound like. But there isn't something missing between David's doubt and trust. We can learn something about David's change in tone when we look at the original language of this passage. The word trust here is actually past tense, so it should be translated, I have trusted in your unfailing love. And then David switches to future tense, I will sing the Lord's praise. So where did his trust come from? David is pulling his trust from his past, from past experiences with God, from past stories of God, when God showed up, when God was faithful. We see through this past tense verb that trusting is actually a practice, that even if there is no present evidence, it's pulling from the God you knew and trusted, and it's declaring future tense of what you know God will do. So even if you don't feel like you have any trust left in you right now, and your faith is empty, David teaches us to practice trust. Pull your trust from the past. Declare your trust into the future. And even if that is hard, we can start with this phrase, but I have trusted and I will sing praise. Brueggemann also noted that the trust at the end of this prayer is actually the same trust at the beginning of this prayer. David trusted God enough to question God. And David also trusted God enough to hold God accountable to God's unfailing love. There's one more thing we have to remember about questioning and doubting God. And that is, if you ask questions of God, then you also have to listen for the answer. This may seem like common sense. If you ask a friend a question, of course you will wait and listen for the answer. But how often do we not give God a chance to respond? We ask our questions, but we never wait to listen for the answer. Or we're too quick to fill in the answer on behalf of God, too quick to respond with platitudes and encouragements and even Bible verses. But maybe God has something else to say. Maybe God doesn't need you to fill in the answers, but instead to let God speak for God's self. And at the same time, we also need to be ready for the answers, even if it's not what you wanted to hear. Out of fear, we can create a false God that we control. Not only do we try to answer for God, but we often try to control the answers to the answers we want to hear. We want a God of constant progress and achievement and a stable economy and prosperity, because that's the answer I want to hear. And in times of anxiety and stress, you will discover the God that you created, that you controlled, that gives you the answers you wanted to hear. But God is much bigger than that. And if we ask questions of God, we also need to let go of the God that we controlled and created. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 42, other people will also ask questions of us. They will ask, where is your God? And especially in these times, questions will arise in our community, in our city, in all of humanity. Where is your God? And when other people in the name of God act in ways that are not love and not grace, we will be asked, where is your God? Are we a community that welcomes those with questions? Do we have a faith comfortable and familiar with questions because we aren't afraid to ask them too? Religion is not just stating all the correct moral answers, but religion is the human struggle with God. It is asking questions about God and with God. So when we pray and re-pray a psalm, we are stating that not that we have all the right answers, but that we will stay here. Even in unanswered questions, we will stay. Even in our doubts, I will stay. Rather than numbing ourselves or distracting ourselves or filling our mind with information, when we pray our questions and uncertainties and fears, we are staying right here, present to God, demanding God's unfailing love, asking for God's mercy, pleading for God to act and to save us, because we cannot save ourselves. So I want to end today by praying once again through Psalm 13. And even though we can't hear each other, I ask that you read this prayer out loud wherever you are. This is our communal prayer. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Amen, friends.